am sitting here with my friend Larry, who is feeling a little under the weather.
A little bit.
How are you, pal? What's going on?
I don't know. I had a cold last week, and I think it came back a little bit, and just kind of feeling run down.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, pal. Are you doing anything about it?
I'm taking, what is it, Zicam.
Zinc. Zicam. What is that?
Zinc. You're supposed to take zinc the first, as soon as you feel the onset of a cold.
Oh.
And helps the cold go away sooner.
Does it feel like it's helping?
I believe. It felt like it helped last week, but...
Oh, God bless you, Larry. Okay. That sounds like it's working great.
So that's what the show is going to be tonight.
Yeah, look out, pal. I got my sound effects working.
There you go.
You dig that? That was cool,
that
right?
That was very good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those nights.
It's going to be. Suddenly I'm sharing a radio show with Ernie Kovacs.
Yes. Well, there are worse people to share a radio show
with.
That's
true. That's very true.
But I'm happy I'm sharing a radio show with my friend Larry. I hope you feel better,
with
pal.
You. Well, thank you very much.
Here
I'm sure I will.
Here's to a good show.
Yes, thank you. Let's disinfect this cold with some alcohol.
There you go. A little Bud Light Lime. This is for all our friends that are out there listening to us.
How many are there tonight?
I don't know. I'm not even looking.
All right, I'll look.
I think. Hold on. Let's see if we got anybody on there. Who's on the chat room? It's Dan. That's me.
Do you know any other Dans?
No. I remember myself signing myself in about 30 seconds ago. It's just me.
We might as well just sit here and talk to ourselves.
Well, that's sort of what we're going to do anyway. Well, that's kind of sad.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, here we are. This is it is Monday night. We are in New York City. We are at the SciShow Studios.
Well, yeah.
On the Lower
the original
East Side.
The original. The East Village.
The East Village. I can't remember which one you like.
What do you mean what I like? It's where we are. Besides what I like.
We're not on the Lower East Side?
No, we're in the East Village.
What would be the Lower East Side?
The Lower East Side is below Houston Street. We are above Houston Street.
Well, I live on 207th Street, so this is the Lower East Side.
What is that?
Inwood.
That's right. Inwood.
It's great up there. Have you been up there?
I think I have. I've driven through it on my way, past and whatever.
Connecticut and upstate New York.
Right.
Well, that's great up there. The Cloisters are up there. The Dyckman House is up there. Mm-hmm. There's a couple little haunted locations up there. The Morrissey Well Mansion is sort of up there.
What about Dyckman House? Is that haunted?
I've been in there a couple times trying to sniff around and see if anybody would let us in there, and no go. Tried. Mm-hmm. They said nothing's going on. It's a cool place, though. It's been around, I think it's one of the oldest houses on the island.
Yeah.
Dyckman House.
Yes, I know that it is.
Well, Larry, you don't feel good, do you?
No, I'm not.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm a little off my game today.
Well, I'm sorry about that. You can take a nap if you want.
That's not take a nap. That's not the take a... That's the sound was... Well, I remember just a few years ago. Yeah.
You are...
It's the flashback sound.
You are correct.
Jeez, that's loud. That's like a smoke detector that needs a new battery.
Yes. Well, we are on the, this is the SciShow. We don't have a lot of people here tonight listening to us.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
We don't have a lot of people, as in not even one.
If my mom was, maybe my mom might be listening.
Why is she not,
Because I told you, they haven't changed the batteries in their,
smoke detector.
In their wireless keyboard. And Alice might be listening. Hey, Alice and William and Dana, they might be
Why
listening.
Why aren't they logged in?
I don't know. Not down there. How come you're not logged in?
Yeah. I should log in.
Log in. So this way, if anybody... I think my friend Rudy might be listening at work.
I heard that he can't fail, by the way.
Rudy can't fail?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's a song. It's a song by The Clash.
Oh, man. I've had it with you.
Jeez. You don't know The Clash? I thought you were...
No, I know The Clash. I just don't know that song.
Oh.
Sorry, pal.
Wait, is that... Oh, you're listener 361.
No, I'm listener 471, I believe.
Not according to what I see on my screen.
Let's see. Dan.
Unless there's someone else.
There's somebody else.
61.
I think there's somebody else.
Oh, I see.
Holy cow.
How do I even log in here? I don't even know how to use my own site.
Go to the bottom.
Oh, no. This must be me, listener 361.
Yeah, it's probably you.
Yeah, okay. Go to the bottom.
Not a very busy
Oh,
day.
I must be logged. You know, it should be more obvious here how to log in. I just got a WordPress login. Is that right? No, that's not what I want. Is it?
Yeah, it is. Login Larry with your...
Is it? Is it Larry?
Yeah. Larry.
What's the password?
Where we set all this up.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, let's try this.
That restaurant. The name of that restaurant.
Uh-huh.
That's the password.
No. Oh, right. I remember now.
All right.
There we go. That's not the password.
It is the password. Capital H.
Oh. You didn't have to say that. There we go. There we go.
You're on.
All right, then. Okay. So now, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, you sent me an interesting, a link to an interesting article regarding Thomas Edison. And no, I'm sorry, Albert Einstein and whether or not the first law of thermodynamics would prove that there is the possibility for ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured maybe we could talk about that for a little while, and then see what else comes
to mind.
Yeah.
Jinx.
What does that mean?
Jinx? You
don't
know
means
Jinx?
That means you have to drink.
Either?
Hold on.
That's right. Usually, it's you, first person that says Jinx, the other person has to buy them a Coke. But we can do
a Coke,
a Bud Light instead.
A Bud Light Lime.
There you go.
What are you doing for? For Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's in a couple weeks.
Indeed. I am...
You know where I'm going with this, because I have. Okay.
All right, well, now I don't have... I don't even have to say it, because the purpose was done.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything. All right, moving on. I don't care what you're doing. You're probably having fun with friends and family, and I'm going to be...
I am. I'm having people over here.
Oh, that's great.
I'm ordering. I'm not going to try to cook in this tiny kitchen. I'm going to order from Citarella.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be fun.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you and all your friends. I hope you're happy. I'll be working.
That's your own choice.
I'll probably have a Subway sandwich. I'm just trying to look for sympathy. If anybody's out there listening. anybody listening.
Are you at least going to have a Subway turkey sandwich?
Maybe I'll have a turkey. I think it's all turkey-based meat at Subway, regardless of what. You can get the roast beef and you're having turkey.
True.
Anyway, so we were talking about the first law of thermodynamics, which is the conservation of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that energy cannot be created or destroyed, it just transfers. It can't be created or destroyed in a closed system.
The closed system.
Yes, the closed system. It just transfers.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of paranormal people out there, a lot of paranormal groups. I myself have on my website, a video of a scientist explaining the first law of thermodynamics.
Vidéo.
Yes. And I I think it's a pretty good explanation of the possibility of energy, of our energy, possibly our soul or our consciousness, to be able to survive bodily death. Whether or not it proves that there's ghosts, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a pretty good explanation for the possibility. It means that within the universe there is a finite number of particles and atoms, and there's a finite number, and it can't grow any bigger, it can't get any smaller, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when our body passes away, the energy that is running us or our consciousness, whatever is governing our body or driving, you know, the driver of our body, that energy has to go somewhere. And if it just goes out into the universe, out into the environment, does it stay intact? Does it know that its body has died, and can it communicate? That's the...
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. What are you reading, Larry? I'm not interrupting you, are
you? No, I'm listening. Because the thing is, because you know, Dan...
Yes.
I don't believe that the this particular law of thermodynamics actually is evidence of
right
of survival.
Okay.
Because I don't. Okay, so what you're saying is, you know, energy, you know, energy cannot be destroyed. It's just broken down. Great, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. But I think the energy that we give off when we die is not necessarily imprinted with our personality. I think the energy that, you know, that we're generating is energy of our bodies, not necessarily of our minds. And so, I just think that it's not relevant to the idea of survival.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Totally see what you mean.
So in other words, I think I fully believe in, obviously, which is why I'm here, the idea of the survival of consciousness or the survival of personality after the, you know, bodily death. However, I think that's a different process, if you will, than the release of the energy when our body dies.
Right. What would that...
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, what I can tell you is that I think that the answer lies in quantum physics.
Right.
And that, you know, that in some... So in other words, that our personalities reside both in our living bodies and after our living bodies are dead on some quantum level.
Right.
And because the death of the body doesn't affect that existence on that quantum level.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And I agree with you, and I've been wanting to actually take that video down off my website only because the second law of thermodynamics kind of...
Aha! Law number two.
Yes. It deals with entropy and it kind of negates the first law. It basically says, yeah, okay, it's nothing is created or destroyed, but you don't get anything for free. Meaning energy,
right.
you're not going to get this energy without some other kind of energy forcing it.
Right.
So it kind of negates the first one, and especially if you're using the first law of thermodynamics as proof of spirits and the possibility
right.
for ghosts. So, but you know, it's funny. I think the way we're going to figure this out is through psychics. It's not through any of the equipment that we have right now. It's going to be through psychic mediums, and as soon as we're able to find a psychic medium who's able to do this, on command 100% of the time, science isn't going to recognize that unless we're able to find someone who can do that, which is, I think, impossible. But I think the future of this lies in psychic mediums. And, you know, I was at a conference a couple weeks ago, and one of the questions that one of the scientists that was there that was speaking, his name is Edwin May, he was asking, when a psychic medium is speaking to a discarnate. Mm-hmm. Is he really speaking to that person, or is he tapping into that energy, that kind of global consciousness, or is he getting this energy that is, because energy isn't created or destroyed, it goes out there, is he somehow able to pick up on this energy? So he's not necessarily speaking to a spirit and communicating, he's getting this information that's sort of out there, and he's able to tap into it and grab a little bit of it.
Did you lose your way?
No. It's just I've got so many things in my head, and they're all jumbled up, and I'm looking for a really good sound effect.
Well, you know what? I would say that the answer is actually both.
I mean, either way, it's pretty phenomenal. Whatever the case, it's amazing that they're able to do that. But then it got me thinking. Maybe there are no spirits. You know, maybe these psychics are when I'm talking to Richard Scholler and he is giving a reading on me and he is speaking about my grandmother, mm-hmm. is he really seeing my grandmother standing next to me like he says he is, or is that how his mind interprets the information he's getting from me? All right.
Right. Okay. It, I see what you mean. So,
like he's getting this information from me, from my energy, but the way his mind shows it to him is by him seeing
right.
spirit.
All right. So let me tell you a story, and because this is where it becomes complicated.
Okay.
And I'm using this story to illustrate the bigger idea. So I went to one of the Forever Family Foundation events,
mm-hmm.
And it was the one where they were having psychics go around the room. You know, actually, it was in a banquet hall. There were people having lunch, and while people were having lunch, psychics would come up to different people. You were asked not to call a psychic over, but they would come up to you if they felt they had a message for you. And they came up to my ex-wife, or my wife at that time, one of the psychics, and said that she saw an old woman, and then the psychic went on to explain a couple of things that she was seeing. One was that she was... I have to remember correctly. She was, she saw this blanket with this colorful fringe, and then she was doing this hand gesture, kind of like this hand gesture where she was like pushing away. And then she said that that there was another. She was saying to that the old woman was telling her that there was another, that my ex-wife was not the only one. There was another. That's what she was saying. And so later that night, like my ex-wife didn't really know what to make of any of this, what it meant. It didn't have meaning for her. But that night she went home and she called her mother. Now my ex-wife was Japanese, which I guess is not really relevant here. But she went home. She called her mother and she told her mother what had happened. And she said, "Does any of this?" First, she told her about the blanket, and her mother said, "Oh," she said, "Yeah." She said, "Actually, when you were a baby, your grandmother made a blanket, and she stuffed the blanket. That was the hand gesture. She stuffed the blanket with like cotton, and it was exactly as my ex-wife described, with the colors and the fringe and the whole nine yards." And so then my ex-wife said to her mother, and she said that there was another. That I wasn't the only one. That's what she... And then there was just silence. And she said, "Well, I never told anyone except for my mother that I was pregnant. But then I lost the baby. Either she lost the baby or she had an abortion or something like that because she wasn't married. And she never told anyone." So I understand what you're saying, but then it becomes more complicated. Because it makes perfect sense if this psychic is picking up sort of images of my grandmother, or in this case my wife's grandmother, from her mind. She, you know, instead of actually speaking to a spirit, she's actually getting this information from my wife. But how is she getting information that my wife had no knowledge of? Then the answer is, well, my wife had some kind of psychic knowledge of this event
or,
that she wasn't aware of.
Or just to go back to what you were saying before, on kind of a quantum level,
yeah.
Your wife has
a connection
to her
string theory.
Right, to her mother, or it was her mother that you were talking about, correct? So she's got her cells in her. She is
right.
Made up of...
So the psychic actually made a psychic connection to the grandmother. From my wife to her mother to the grandmother.
Right, because they're all connected.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, whatever the case, pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
Hey, talk a little bit. My friend Rudy's listening. Say hi to my friend Rudy. I'm going to run in. Go get us to warm beer.
Hello, Rudy. How are you doing? Where do you... Oh, you see Rudy in the...
He's in the chat room.
Oh, I see. Listener 64.
Hey, Rudy.
Laws are made to be broken. That's true. Yes, sounds good, Dan.
Yeah, I saw that. Thanks, Rudy.
I'm actually hungry.
At any rate, so it's so I mean, I think. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying about the psychics rather than technology, but I think it's not going to be one or the other. I think it's going to be a combination.
Right.
Like I said, I think it'll really come when we start having a better understanding of, you know, the inner workings of the universe through quantum physics, and then you could, you know, and what it'll be, it'll start pointing to consciousness, you know,
right.
and the existence of consciousness and how it could exist.
Right.
And we're going to have, I actually got an email from Roger, excuse me, the other day regarding, Roger Nelson, who started the Global Consciousness Project at Princeton University, and I met him a couple of weeks ago. He's a really, really nice guy, and his wife and we bonded together down at this conference, and we were staying in the same hotel, so we would end up at the bar after the conference, and Lloyd Auerbach and I, and actually Dean Radin and Edward May, I got to sit and listen to all these guys talk. It was pretty amazing.
That's cool.
But Roger lives, and his wife, they live in Princeton still, and they want to come up to the city and hang out, and so we're going to have to record a show with him one day. And really give us the whole scoop on the Global Consciousness Project, which is an amazing, amazing experiment that's still going on. If you look it up on the internet, they're getting amazing results, and he'll be an amazing person to talk to. But it's all dealing with consciousness and how consciousness is a real thing, and it's affecting the world, you know, and the world is affecting consciousness.
Yep.
It's all tied together and just amazing. The more research, and I don't even want to call it research, the more reading I do in this field, the more normal all these paranormal, I don't even like that word anymore, the more normal all these kind of amazing experiences people are having just seem normal. You know,
yeah.
How could they almost not happen?
Well, it's not that these things are not normal, you know, whether they're normal or not normal. It's really our understanding or lack of understanding.
That's really what
it comes down to.
God, you were a smart guy. Smart
guy.
I have the best co-host ever. I really do.
No, Dan, I do.
Even when you're not I agree with you, but even when you're not feeling good.
Even when I'm not drunk.
You're not drunk, are you?
That's what I'm saying. Even when I'm not drunk, I'm pretty good.
You are. I wish you were feeling better.
I wish I was drunk.
Well, God bless you, Larry.
Oh, thank you.
God bless you, Larry. God bless you, Larry.
Oh, jeez. Let me take those sound effects away from you.
No. It's the best part of the show.
So, Dan, what's next?
Well, what time we got here? 7:23. I don't know. What do you feel like talking about, brother? Something.
Excuse me.
Oh, see, there you go.
What? I'm coughing.
No.
You want to talk about my coughing?
No, not necessarily. No. There's nothing strange about that. You're not feeling well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for example, you know, the for example, talking about quantum physics again. You know, recently at CERN, at the Large Hadron Collider research project, they discovered particles that seemed to be traveling, you know, faster than the speed of light.
Did you read the follow-up to that, though?
No.
They were wrong. They made a mistake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I was looking for that, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
When did that come out?
About a week after that happened, a week after they saw these particles.
Crap.
That might be, yeah, I know. I was bummed when I saw
that.
That
so cool.
Yeah, it was a drag. But they are out there doing great experiments, and they're...
But what? How did they make the mistake?
Oh, man, it was something very simple. And Larry's Googling it right now.
Yeah.
It was something very simple. Where they just the math was wrong. They didn't take into account something, and the difference between that something and what they originally had, put it back down to zero, put it down slower than the speed of light.
I see.
To where it should be. So that was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that's these Italians.
Well,
I'm so proud of them.
Yeah.
But, well.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer.
I was all ready to, watch the invention of the warp engine.
Sorry to disappoint you, my friend. Oh, yes. Who's this? All right. I got an email from these freaking, these crazy, crazy people that, another paranormal group.
Uh-huh.
Just pains in the asses.
What do they want?
Let's talk about paranormal groups. Let's talk about paranormal groups, and that they're filled mostly, and because Rudy's the only one listening.
Behind their backs.
Let's talk about them behind their back, because a lot of them are filled with dicks. And this is an adult show, and my friend Rudy's listening, so it's okay to say dicks. So, now, just these paranormal groups there is a odd mentality amongst a lot of paranormal people.
There really are.
And it gets to be a kind of a gang mentality where this is
yes.
my turf.
And very much so.
You can't, I have the Merchant's House Museum, and that's mm-hmm. my place that I go to, but I've brought other paranormal groups in there. I'm going to learn from these people, but there are, you can't go uptown. I've had people say, uptown is mine. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
It's like a paranormal mafia.
It really is. good members of the five families. It's going to be me and you and Don.
You're going to find the ghost of a horse's head in your bed.
No. Good Lord. But you've got these guys.
And Sturgis sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah, sleeps with the ecto. And but they really go out of their way to. I mean, I've been dealing with a couple people and I took them on an investigation to, and it wasn't even an investigation. We were doing something at the Morris Jumel Mansion. It was with Dom Villela and I, newspaper article a couple of years ago. I ended up, because Dom was busy, so I spoke to the reporter, and he said, look, we want to bring two groups in. Who's going to be you and Dom, and we're going to, see how the two groups kind of mix, and yeah, great, no problem. So I called somebody just because I needed help carrying my bags. He starts a group and suddenly starts telling people, his group has now investigated the Morris Jumel Mansion. That nobody has been able to investigate since Hans Holzer in the 60s, and my group is the first group since then. I mean, we didn't really investigate.
Nice.
We kind of walked around and did the dog and pony show for the
for the
newspaper. So it's his group has been investigating the Merchant's House for 4 years because suddenly I was part of the group. But so you've got this need for these people that run these groups, and they have these titles as lead investigator and
trainee and.
Yeah, I'm the audio specialist, and there are groups out on Long Island that give themselves military titles. They're corporals and lieutenants. And, you think I'm kidding? Absolutely. Look it up. It's frightening, and nobody in this field is any smarter than anybody else.
Well,
in regarding this field,
are smarter than most.
No, this is true. No, I have more experience than some people. Just like you have more experience, but 10 years ago, we were nobodies. We were newbies. But people have a real hang-up about being new in this field, and they want to suddenly give themselves all this kind of this street cred
that's
ridiculous, and it really gets in the way of doing investigations and the whole idea behind this field. We're all in the same boat. Lloyd Auerbach and you and I are all in the same boat. We're all looking for the same thing, and neither one of us know how to get it.
Right.
We have a pretty good idea of the basic ways that, things that have had good luck in the past.
Right.
But we don't have, your voice is very deep and sexy.
It is very deep right now.
But we don't have, there's no definitive way.
Yeah.
So we all have that in common. And these people who got these hang-ups about, I'm the New York guy when you called it paranormal. It's got to be me.
Right,
it's got to be you. I've had people cry. Cry
about what?
Because a film, a production company was speaking to me, not him.
Crying.
We were in the same room. He was crying because he was afraid that if it aired and somebody thought, "All right, who's the number one paranormal guy in New York City?" that they would come up with me and not him.
Dan, you seem to be very hot, by the way. Do you want me to turn on?
I'm sweating. I'm beating up. You realize you're looking at me.
I'm going to turn off the. I'm going to turn. I've got the little radiator going. I'm going to turn that off.
You got the radiator going?
Well, because I'm sick, Dan.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
I was sick. I was cold.
It's like 100 degrees in here. I wasn't going to say anything, but your windows are closed. You got the heat on. You got to see Larry, too. He's in a snorkel coat. He's got leg warmers on.
I'm in a snorkel coat.
He's in a snorkel coat
exactly
with leg warmers on.
Snorkel
a snorkel. A snorkel coat. You've never heard of a snorkel coat? You're giving me a hard time for not knowing about
no,
freaking...
No, but you made up snorkel coat.
I did not make up snorkel coat. Get on your Google.
What is
that thing that the kids are using these days? Google. Get on your Google and look up snorkel coat. You'll see. You'll feel silly.
Get on your freaking Google and get out of town.
Hold on.
Snorkel coat.
I'm annoyed with you. Hold on. Punching Larry in the face right now.
Snorkel coat.
Had enough? Had enough?
Yeah, I've had enough.
That's
kind of... women's snorkel coat.
Well, I didn't say you were wearing a woman's snorkel coat, but I said you were wearing a snorkel
Nike
coat.
Nike Jordan snorkel parka.
Oh, God.
Snorkel women's coat. Oh, there you go. Ralph Lauren down snorkel jacket.
All right, so now you see what I'm saying?
Snorkel coats, compare price, but they're just a snorkel coat. This sounds funny, though. I never heard of a snorkel coat.
We're only half an hour into this.
Anyway,
have you had some bad experiences
I have, and there's a couple of things that I found in my experience. One is definitely that territoriality that you're, talking about. That
right.
definitely exists. The other thing is this idea that, I mean, without knowing anything about me or what I do or what I know or what I've experienced, what my experience is. There's always people putting down other people all the time.
Right.
And it goes back to this insecurity,
absolutely.
Of who's smarter than who and who really knows their stuff and that's where the territoriality comes from as well. And it's just silly and ridiculous. I've definitely experienced one time I reached out to a group. This was in the very early my early days. And I felt that I had done, I learned as much as I could learn on my own, and I wanted to join a group.
Right.
And so this group actually interviewed me. It was like literally like a job interview that I had gone to out in Staten Island. It was a job interview at like an Applebee's, however.
That's awesome.
This is what it comes down to, actually, more than anything else, is just the complete lack of a sense of humor about this stuff.
Right.
They take themselves so freaking seriously, it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. And so they agreed that I would, that I could join their group then, but as a trainee
uh-huh.
investigator. Now, understand, I probably knew more about the paranormal, and not just the paranormal, but about psi and parapsychology than any of them,
right.
or all of them put together. But, that was fine. I was like, sure, I'll be a trainee. I'm not full of myself or anything. I don't feel like there's nothing that I can't learn. And that's why I was there. And then they just never called me. They were like, oh, we're having an investigation, but you're not ready for the investigation yet.
Do they know what kind of equipment you had? Because that usually that kind of ups the trainee the radiation period. Where if you've got some good equipment, you're coming out, or if a car,
right? But yeah, they wanted to train me on the equipment first. Make sure. I mean, oh my God,
yeah.
Train me on the equipment.
Yeah.
Give me a freaking break.
Yeah.
I mean, how long does it take to learn how to read an EMF meter?
I know. You know what I always ask them, too, is as soon as, because I've had people say that to me, going, we're going to have to give you you're going to have to take a little kind of course. And I've talked to people who wanted me to pay about how to use an EMF meter. And I would love to learn how to properly use an EMF meter. I mean, I know how to use it for our needs. But, you know, I always ask the person answering me that question. I go, well, okay, well, what's it, you know, what does it gauge that? Is it at 50 hertz or 60 hertz? And just watch them go, because nobody knows.
Right. Right.
Unless, you know, but it takes about 5 minutes to find out. All you got to do is look it up on the internet. And
yeah.
You can find out, you know, American and European are two different frequencies. And anyway, yeah, it's ridiculous. And you know, there's an investigator down in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. His name is Vince Wilson. He's got a lot of books out. He's really seasoned. He's been around forever. And he has, it's called The Haunted Cottage. And Vince is a really cool guy. I met him about a year ago, coming up on a year ago. And he is, along with Nancy Zingroni and Lloyd Auerbach and Carlos Alvarado, we all met, we all had a conference down there with Barry Taft, and kind of a brain trust of people putting their heads together and trying to figure out what is the best thing for this field right now. And it seems to be, the consensus was with these great scientists that people like us, Larry, these amateurs, really need to kind of get together and get their act together.
Yeah.
And decide, all right, we're all on the same team. We're all looking for the same thing. These scientists, these lab guys, these guys that the science community is going to take serious, you know, they're not going to take Larry and Dan serious, especially if they're listening to some of these radio shows, but they will take, you know, Lloyd serious. And Lloyd can't get out there and investigate all the time. So he's kind of at the mercy of people like us all across the country to go out and investigate and say, hey, look, we've got this data.
Right.
And send it to them.
Well, you know, at one point, to your point, I, you know, with my group, the Afterlife Research Group in New York, one of the things that we were trying to do was to create, like, a centralized data bank of,
right.
you know, of everything, of... you know, where someone would basically fill out a form and say, at this location, we recorded these EMF spikes. We recorded these EVPs at this time of day, or, you know, this time of day, this time of night, whatever, with all of the relevant environmental information, and try then to create a database so that you could start seeing, you know, repeatable patterns.
Right.
I mean, that's where you start getting to, you know, evidence and then proof. And so we had people from my group reaching out to other paranormal groups.
But they're real kind of standoffish when
yeah.
you do that.
And they were completely standoffish. They were like, no, this is our evidence. It's like, this is our, you know, can you imagine if the scientific community did that?
Right.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, but when you have that evidence, don't you, do you send your stuff out? I send my stuff out to everybody
sure.
I know.
Right.
And say, look, pick it apart, man. Pick
yeah.
it apart and tell me
yeah.
I'm wrong.
And the thing is, I'm not even...
I certainly don't want to embarrass myself and send that out to Lloyd
right.
or somebody, and they go, Dan, that's a freaking, you know, those
yeah.
are squeaky brakes that are outside.
That's your thumb
bells.
In front of the lens.
Exactly, exactly. That's a camera strap. So I send it out to everybody, hoping to get somebody to say, no, Dan, you know, don't do that because you're going to look like a jackass because it's this.
It's peer review.
Yeah,
that's
exactly,
what it is.
Exactly.
Peer review. That's what the scientific community does. You publish in a publication, and there's peer review,
right.
you know. And these, you know, but that's not what these guys are doing. Basically, these groups are, it's an ego trip for them
yeah.
more than anything else.
Yeah,
know?
It's because, and I think a lot of it, from my experience, has been, some of these guys are just not happy with their lives.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and not
absolutely.
To get all shrinkish about it, but they're unhappy and they're miserable.
Right.
And this is a way for them to kind of be unique.
Right. To feel important.
You know, to be the leader.
Right.
And they're walking around with scientific equipment and, you know, they're throwing phrases around like the law of conservation of energy.
Right.
Thinking that they know what they're talking about when in reality they're just watching Ghost Hunters and pick up a book.
Right.
And it's frustrating, and we got, you know what, Larry, we should figure something out, because, you know, there are really cool people in this field, but I haven't met many of them.
Yeah.
And Larry's a cool guy, and Larry's a smart guy, and he's somebody that I certainly learn a lot from, and
vice versa.
Well, thank you, and your cat wants to talk right in the microphone. Say hello. And but we should, you know, because there's not enough for us to do, and
just take
no,
her
no,
down.
I don't want to. She's having fun.
Listening yeah, here, the cat is here now. Oh, she's stepping on the keyboard. She's going to play one of the sound effects.
She is.
Whoa!
Holy cow! and we are still connected.
It was almost a catastrophe.
Where's the applause for that one, boy? Hold on. Hold on. Cat ran away. Okay.
Dan, you've got a cat hair hanging off your chin now. Like,
yeah, I know. Okay. I said, here we are.
Just drink your beer, man. So you're completely allergic. Why do you let her?
Because I didn't want to touch her.
Well, now she's rubbing against your face.
Hold on. Let me get that. Do I still have that thing on?
No, you got it.
Did I get it? Okay, there you go. All right, got it. Hold on. Still there? Ah, I got it. Okay, I got it.
That was the one.
Well, we should try and put our heads together and see if we can't figure something out, because this really...
What do you mean, figure something out?
We could start just in New York and invite... I mean, we've got the Merchant's House, which is a phenomenal place, the Merchant's House Museum, 29 East 4th Street, where we have access to that, and I'm happy to bring other groups in there and want to do experiments there. We need to kind of... Get these people together, and instead of just having Sturgis Paranormal or ACME or the Afterlife Research Group, and just have a group of amateur paranormal apes, APE, amateur paranormal enthusiasts. We need a group of apes.
Apes.
And
but we need intelligent apes.
This is true. This is true. And because then science will take us serious, or at least these scientists that are into this field. You can go to Dean Radin and say, hey, Dean Radin, look at this. These are our findings. Can you help us out with this, or can you do anything with this, or can you tell us where we went wrong and what we should do?
Yeah.
You know, rather than, you know, throwing them up on our website going, listen to my EVP. Whoop-de-doo.
Right.
Which is what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm embarrassed by that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean... It was actually something, and I'll spring it right here on the show. It was something that I was going to ask you about was if you wanted, what you thought about the idea of taking like a more structured and scientific approach to Merchant House. Like, for example.
Yeah, you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, like, for example, for each room we go into, record the time, the barometric pressure, the temperature, you know, all of those things.
Right.
And do it, you know, and then just keep this data for each of the rooms, for each of the times we go there, and just start looking across the data and you know, and see if we can, you know, we can correlate results that we get to anything like time of day or, like I said, or barometric pressure or, you know, phase of the moon or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and we absolutely shouldn't. And one of the things that I wanted to do also, sort of in conjunction with the Winbridge Institute out west, was is really kind of, I'm really into doing psychic research.
Yeah.
And I want to see if there's any, if these psychic mediums, and the Winbridge Institute is an institute out west, and they do afterlife research and using psychic mediums. They've been around for 7 or 8 years. The people that are running it are, you know, just ridiculously smart PhDs out the butt, but really amazing smart people who are really, really doing great, great kind of quadruple blind experiments with these psychics, and they've got 20 psychics across or around the world that they deal with, and I think 3 of them are in New York, and I would love to get them into the Merchant's House to do an experiment to see if location. Being in an active, a quote-unquote, I'm making the quote-unquote signs, you guys can't see.
The air quotes.
The air quotes on the radio. And but if a air quote active location plays any part, makes it easier for a psychic medium to do a reading, or do they have a higher percentage of hits at a location that, for whatever reason, seems to be active? I want to see if being in the Merchant's House kind of juices up the connection. But it really needs to. I'm tired. I mean, we've been doing an investigation there every month this year, and I'm just burnt out. And the investigations are, you know, you've been on a couple of them. They're crappy investigations. They're ridiculous.
Well, I would call them crappy. I'd say they're
crappy.
they're sort of
they're
light
amateurish.
Investigations.
Yeah, they're amateurish because, you know, we've got guests with us and, you know,
yeah,
you have
right.
to do this and you have to make it interesting for them. And, you know, I'd rather go in there for an hour or 2 hours and just do some good investigation rather than a six-hour bullshit kind of wasting my time,
right.
which I feel like I've been doing for the last, you know, three or four investigations I've done there.
Hmm.
You know, it's kind of a drag. It's more of a field trip.
Right, right.
And, you know, the guys get to use, people get to use my equipment. And that's basically what I'm there for.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, Larry.
Yes?
I don't know now. What am I doing with my life?
What are you doing with your life, Dad?
I don't know. I've sworn a couple times. Apologize to my mom.
Is she on?
I don't know. What's that? Wait, hold on. We got a beep, so I can bleep myself out. Stupid mother f***er.
Anyway, so...
How do we do this? How do we get this together?
What do you mean? Get what together?
How do we get this... How do we get some apes?
Some intelligent apes.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? I think people would line up for it.
How are we going to do? I mean, because then we have to screen people, and
we start
becoming those people that you went on a job interview for. You know,
what do you screen people for? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you say you want to get an intelligent ape. How are you going to know somebody's intelligent?
Well, I was just kidding. I was referencing Planet of the Apes.
I know. Holy cow! Your cat's losing its mind. What happened?
She was almost fell off the seat here. That's what it was. She was.
Freaking out.
Excuse me. what sort of people do you think we would bring on these investigations?
I don't know. We need cool people. I mean, and not necessarily just bringing people to the merchant's house, but I think we should align ourselves with some groups out there that are doing things correctly and are taking this kind of, no, I don't even want to say serious, because there are people out there that are taking this serious that just don't know what they're doing. But people who are of the same mindset, they're not just ghost hunters, but they're researching psi, they're trying to figure out, you know, the science behind what's
right.
going on.
Right.
Rather than just looking for ghosts, which is cool, you know. I mean, who doesn't want to see a ghost?
Ow.
That would be cool. Larry's getting beat up by his cat right now.
I agree. Well,
going wild. Jesus. What the hell's wrong with your cat, Larry? Good Lord.
It's a big cat.
It's a big
for this
mad
apartment.
Jesus. Wow. Don't you feed that cat ever?
Why do you think I invite you over?
Come on, we got 10 more minutes, man.
We can do it. We can do it. We can get through the 10 minutes. So, what you're saying is you believe that we should screen people to, you know, so that we make sure that they are intelligent apes and that they're doing things the right way. They're not, you know.
Yes, I think people should be screened because there's crazy people out there.
Well, yeah.
And
but not just for craziness, but for competency.
Yeah, I mean, well, here we're going to do a show on this, but I wouldn't want anybody that's afraid of Ouija boards.
That's afraid of Ouija boards?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what your thoughts on our Ouija boards, but
I don't know. I don't know what my I'm not afraid of I ain't afraid of no Ouija board.
Right.
But
do you think the Ouija board has magical powers?
Does it have magical powers? No.
Yeah.
I mean, your run-of-the-mill Ouija board?
A Ouija board that you would go to Toys R Us and pick up a Ouija board. There are people that are afraid to be in the room with one.
Well, that's silly. I mean, I think
and there are groups out there that say you have to sign a paper saying that I will not use Ouija boards on an investigation.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a member to be in a TAPS family member. To have your group as a TAPS family member, you have to sign a paper saying that you will not use a Ouija board.
Really?
Because Ouija boards are so dangerous.
Hmm.
And then you get to be a TAPS family member.
Well, I also know that they don't they don't put much stock into psychics as well.
Right. No, but I mean, somebody who comes up to us and says, you know, if you say, hey, what are your thoughts on Ouija boards? And they go, oh, my God, no, I would never use a Ouija board. I wouldn't want to deal with that person because they're, you know, they've been watching TV. You know?
But we've all been watching TV.
Yeah, but not, but, you know.
Well, I mean, I would want to know why.
But that was just, all right. Yeah, yeah, okay. Why, that's a good question. So you're nicer than me.
Well, no, I mean,
I'll just put the guy out.
I mean, it could be that they're onto something, you know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Nah. And you're one of those guys.
Nah.
You're one of those guys.
One of what guys?
One of those guys.
I'm a big angry bear.
So what, we've stumbled on the zoo animal sound
effect?
That's
exactly it. That's exactly it. Let's see.
Well, I don't, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Ouija boards, I don't know. I'm Ouija board agnostic.
Well, I am. I wouldn't want to deal with somebody who's afraid of Ouija boards, whether for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's just that's somebody who's who's, I think, just influenced by television and by what they hear, rather than kind of being level-headed and rational about it, and, you know, saying, "Oh, it's just a piece of flake board." And a plastic planchette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's they've watched Taps, or they've gone to see John Zappas talk about demonology, or you know what it,
Johnny Z.
What's your whole take on the whole demon thing?
We'll have a
demon show.
A demon off.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if they do exist, it's a rarity.
You know, my take on it, and you know, it was kind of the sexy, the new sexy kind of paranormal thing was demonology, and I read a bunch. I read the books by Malachi Martin and Ed Warren and you know, scary stuff. And I've gone to see John Zaffis talk, and I was kind of the jerk in the back who raised his hand when they said, "Have any questions?" And I said, "Yeah, I got a big question." And I said, "How come I'm just hearing this now?" You know, I mean, you're not supposed to do. They had a whole list of things that you're not supposed to do because suddenly you're on the devil's radar. And you know, I'm in my 40s. Why am I learning this now? How come you don't hear this right off the bat? You know, I mean, how come I wasn't told not to use a Ouija board when I was 5?
Uh-huh.
You know,
right.
You think you would, because the devil's going to get you. You think that would be one of the first things you were taught,
right? Yeah,
but I had to go to a Eastern State Penitentiary conference and watch John Zappas go up and scare the crap out of about 200 people, and then he sold a bunch of books but had nothing behind it, you know, other than, you know, my aunt and uncle went and investigated the Amityville Horror.
Well, I
which was a big hoax.
It was a big hoax.
Yeah.
So so it really sort of disproves what he says.
Yeah.
He had a show himself, John Zaffis, right?
Yeah, it was.
What was that?
It was like haunted objects, and he would go to places that had like a haunted piano
I remember the haunted piano episode.
He's got.
It was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, he's an interesting guy, and he's certainly always been nice to me. Whenever I've met him a few times, and he's always very nice. And I mean, he got no idea who I am, but whenever I've met him, he's always been very pleasant, very cool. You know, fundamentally, I'm on a completely different page than he is.
Right.
And he's more into the, you know, him and Adam Bly, who I don't know if you come across Adam Bly. He's a psychiatrist and really does. I've seen a couple of his lectures, and he does amazing lectures, and he's really, really a great speaker. But he's, you know, way into the demons you know, exorcisms and really believes that it's that's the devil and the devil's minions that are doing all these horrible things. And
well, isn't it?
I wish I could find a devil sound effect. but I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I'm not on the demon bandwagon.
What bandwagon are you on?
I am on the science bandwagon. I'm in the Larry bandwagon, man.
That's a good bandwagon.
It's a great wagon to be on. I'm going to hitch my wagon to the Larry wagon and motor on down the road. with Larry. He's going places.
Motoring on down the road.
He is going places. That's why I'm aligning myself with him, and I'm going to be an intelligent ape with Larry. Oh, man. Is anybody listening? Is there any way to find out? Hold on.
Is there anybody out there?
Well, according to our server, there are no listeners.
Even what's his name dropped up, Rudy.
Rudy Pound.
Rudy's like, screw this. Screw this.
Oh, wait, we've got two listeners. Well, you and I.
And the cat.
And the cat. Well, let's just pull up a song and we'll end this nightmare. I don't know. I wasn't into this tonight. You're sick. Just get the hell out of here. Well, listen. Next week, Kathy Tall. We already know what's going to happen. We're going to do a show on mediums. Mediumship. And we'll have a friend of ours. As we're popping the
Oh, my God. That hurts.
Mediumship. And we are going to have Kathy Toll on. Mm-hmm. We will be in the Midtown Studios, and we'll have more room. We'll have less cats. And we will speak with Kathy Toll, who will tell us what it's like to be a medium in today's kind of world. She's been on plenty of investigations at the Merchant's House with us, and she's a pretty talented lady. So she will be on. We'll have some fun with her. And, again, Larry, it was fun hanging out with you. I hope you feel better, pal.
You too as well. Thank you very much.
And, we're gonna bust out of here with my friend's band called Broken Poets. So, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for your support. Thanks for hanging in there on a Monday night with Larry and Dan in the side.
You know, nobody was hanging out.
Rudy was hanging out.
Nobody hung in there.
Nobody hung themselves.
Good night.
Bye.